At this time, we're going to ask Brother Lawrence Kirkham if you would turn on your video and please ask the blessing for Brother Mark Chastain's talk this hour.
Dear brethren, in this time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, and has not been seen before, please bless Brother Mark, whom we walked with for many, many years in the light of truth. Bless his service on this very important subject in this difficult period. Thank you, Brother Mark, and bless you.
Thank you, Brother Lawrence. Thank you, Brother Peter, for your assistance with the hymn. At this time, we're going to call forward Brother Mark Chastain, and his subject is Impact of Communism, Socialism, and Nihilism, 1914 to present. Brother Mark, Lord bless your service.
I hope everyone can see the screen and hopefully can hear us. Thank you, Brother Kirkham. And brethren, we bring you to love of the Bible students of Hope, Indiana. And some of them are with us today. And we want to thank each one of you for the time that you'll give us today in the study of the Lord's Word. We hope that you will be blessed. And we thank the brethren in Seattle for giving us this privilege. Zoom's a wonderful thing, and many of us have been blessed during this this time of change in the earth's position, as you might say. We have thought about Joseph's words to his brethren, that he said that you meant it as bad, but God meant it as good. So Zoom has been that. Though we must say that we have always looked forward to going to Seattle. Many, many memories started with Brother Lawrence when we were a young man coming out here and literally sitting at his feet and learning from the truth from him, to spending many a night and evening at Brother David and Sister Carol's residence discussing the truth and proving that we are not Jehovah's Witnesses, because we didn't always agree, but we loved each other because of that. And we learned to love each other even more because of that. And that was a real blessing. So a lot of great memories, but we content ourselves with the Zoom situation as we are today. We hope to add to your blessings today. Now, this topic is not a topic that we would have chosen for lots of different reasons. But what we have learned is that we would have been wrong. The blessings that have come from the study of this subject have been immense for us. And the clarification, Brother Bob, we appreciate the clarification you sent to us in the email form. That was of great help to us. We struggled to find a scripture that we thought would fit with this. There's not a whole lot of scriptures that specifically would fit on the impact of communism, socialism, and nihilism from 1914 to present. But we think there is a scripture that we want to go to if we could, and that's in Psalms 4. And that is the theme of our talk. We are reminded, Brother Jim Watkins used to always tell us, if you're going to give a talk, Brother Mark, make it based on a scripture. And we appreciate that advice very much. We're going to go through, if we could, verses 1 through 4 here. We will discuss these more at length at the end in our summary, but we want to go through them just as a kind of a touch point to see if something in the earth we see today. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Have we not seen the rise of, in many ways, the heathen nations? Just in our experience recently, communist countries of Russia and China and India all went together to form an economic alliance, and it is half the population of the world. And for the most part, they are heathen. But we'll get more into that as we see Russia is changing. We see that the heathen are imagining a vain thing. They are imagining they can create peace in this time of our Lord's second presence, where peace will not be found. The kings of the earth set themselves up. Do we not see that? And the rulers take counsel together. They got together just this last weekend to figure out what to do with the problems in the earth, the financial, social, political, and religious issues that we see all around us today. They say, let us break our bonds asunder. Let us rid ourselves of these restraints that have been put upon us as leaders, such as the Constitution and liberty and the ability to have freedom. And they want to cast away these cords that are binding them. And yet, God just sits there and laughs. Says, give it your best shot, folks. You're not going to be successful. He shall have them in derision. So if we keep these thoughts, we think of this Psalms in mind, it'll help us as we move forward to consider the thoughts that we have to give today. Now let's talk a little bit about history. And we're going to look at two types of history. We're going to look at the history of socialism, but we're also going to look a little bit at the history of the world and the two pivotal moments that have occurred in man's history. We want to consider them from two aspects, how they affected two groups, two large groups of individuals during this historical event. The first historical event that we want to talk about is one that we're all would agree is the death of our Lord. It was a pivotal moment in the history up until that point. The death of our Lord in his subsequent resurrection caused great and massive changes in the universe as we know it. The second presence, exactly the same thing. Our Lord's return to the atmosphere changed groups in ways that can never be reversed. So now what do we mean by that? Now, what was the effect? For the world, it was a big yawn in both cases. They didn't care. Oh, someone was crucified in Jerusalem. Happens all the time. What's the big deal? 1874. What happened in 1874? You ever tried to witness to someone and they figure out that you believe in the second presence and they say, 1874, what happened in 1874? Come on. Nothing. Really, seriously. Oh, we found out that a leprosy was caused by a bacteria. But for us, that's incredible because it's an example of sin and how that they found the basis of the bacterium. But to the world, really? That's your basis? Really? But to other groups, it was a completely different attitude. For Satan and his household, it was complete fear, panic. When our Lord was resurrected, oops, maybe we shouldn't have killed him. Now he is on the level of the divine. Oops, big mistake. Satan realized his mistake. And as he went through, he tried to correct that mistake, and we'll see as we go along. In the second presence, Satan and his household again were completely devastated. Not only did our Lord return, but all those people they had killed came back and resurrected bigger and stronger than they were. And their memories are perfect. So they remember killing each one of the saints, and they could see each one of them resurrected. Huge panic. So from the world standpoint, big yawn. From the Satan and his household, huge effects. And we'll get more into that as we go along. Now, the evil spirits, they know something. And they told our Lord on Matthew 8:29, they said, and behold, they cried out saying, what have you to do with thee? What do we have to do with thee, Jesus, Son of God? In other words, we've been keeping our distance from you. We're kind of staying away from you. you're messing with us now, and we've stayed away from you. Why are you bothering us? Art thou hither to torment us before the time? So it's very important what they said there. One, torment, which we'll get to in a moment. It's a very interesting word. But what's really interesting is they said before the time. They knew there was some sort of time. Satan does not believe he will be beat. The evil spirits know that there's a specific expiration date stamped on them. And they know the time is here now. They know that they are being judged. Our Lord is present. And they know that it's time. The word torment here, we think is fascinating. It's a stone used to test silver or gold. A stone used to test silver and gold, which reminds us of the judgment of the angels, that it is a true judgment. It is a test whether or not some are worthy of death and some are not. And brethren, as we consider that thought, you will be judging, if you are faithful, someone's eternal life, whether or not they get a death sentence or not. You will be making that determination. So when the apostle says, can we not make small judgments now? You will be looking someone in the eye and saying, that person, you have to die. You're evil. So this judgment is real. And they know who's going to judge them. They know who's going to get rid of them. It's a rough time for them right now. They have no sympathy for me, but it's a rough time. Now, Satan has often changed his tactics. In the early church, he used the synagogues to go after the brethren. The church, as they got bigger, he started using the tactics of Rome and the emperors. As the church got bigger and bigger, he had to have more reinforcements. The early church was small enough that the Jews could handle him, but then as they got earlier, so he changed his tactics. Then he created papacy, which was brilliant. I mean, if you're going to say evil can be brilliant, the papacy was brilliant. It was a false religion based on partial truths, and encourage people to have all sorts of sacrifice and do what they can and whatnot. Brilliant move on his part. Then the Reformation came along, and he had to change his tactics once again. He actually printed a Bible himself. The Douay version was printed in English, and different versions were printed and with errors and with an attempt to try to control the narrative. But nevertheless, after he tried to kill them off and it didn't work, then they had to change his tactics once again. In the French Revolution, we have in Revelations that tells us that indeed, you know, I believe Revelations 12, indeed, he did change his tactics and tried to flood the flood of truth to overwhelm the woman, and that didn't work either. But you'll see that Satan is willing to change his tactics. And we think in the second presence, Satan has again indeed had to change his tactics because he could see that killing off the saints was not going to work. The way to get to the saints now was to make this life so easy and so nice that they wouldn't want to sacrifice and that there was no need for it. In reprint 5847, now these are not Brother Russell's words. These are the words of someone he put in there, but it's an interesting article. If you have an opportunity to read it, we understand why Brother Russell put it in there. But we want to just quote from this. It says, it does not seek to drag down. This is Satan. This is the philosophy of Satan, the gospel of Satan, he says. It does not seek to drag down and degrade the natural man, but to uplift and improve and uplift him. To use a popular phrase, it appeals to the best, all that is good within us. Have we not heard that? It aims to make this world such a comfortable and congenial habitat that the absence of Christ will not be felt and God will not be needed. Brethren, we can fall into that trap. When everything's going good, maybe you don't need God. Not as much. But when trial comes, heartache comes, then we turn to the Lord. We cannot allow this philosophy of Satan to be in our hearts. We have to be as close to the Lord at all times, not just in trials. Though we think it is natural to draw closer to the Lord in trials, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we must try to that point where we are completely in tune with the Lord as much as we possibly can as we go along. Again, that reprint was not written by Brother Russell, but we thought it had some very interesting points in it. And I think I know why Brother Russell included it in the Watchtower at that time. So let's go back to our topic now of impact, communism, socialism, nihilism. Now, you might wonder why Brother Mark just took us on that trip for a little while. And we hope it'll become clear as we go along of how the Second Presence affected Satan and the evil spirits and how communism, socialism, nihilism was the result of that fear that they had. So let's start with some definitions. Now, as we go through definitions of communism and socialism and nihilism, there is a broad range of definitions, mainly by those that oppose it and those that that are proponents of it. We are neither. We think we just see what it is. And so we're going to just use Webster's dictionary. It's very generic, and we'll go from there. Socialism. Any of various economic and political theories advocating collective or governmental ownership and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods. Okay. Socialism is not fascism. Fascism, according to Mussolini, was the fusion of corporate and government. Of government and industry, making them together where they basically are become a symbiotic. We might have fascism in this country. I don't know. It's hard to say, but certainly it's not socialism. Socialism is where economic and collective resources are owned by the government and administered by the government or in governmental, quasi-governmental agencies. Communism, a system in which goods are owned in common and are available to all as needed, no private property. A leader of certain elements in our society has come out recently, Klaus Schwab, and said that one day you will own nothing and you will love it. So he's obviously advocating communism. Again, a system in which goods are owned in common and are available to all as needed, and no private property. Nihilism. Nihilism is a viewpoint that traditional values and beliefs are unfounded and that existence in sense is senseless and useless. Now, we believe that this has not been very well used as a tool of the adversary of the evil spirits at this time. We think it will be used by God. And we'll get into that a little later as we go into this. Are they in the scriptures? Well, kind of. And we're going to ask for a little bit of latitude, brethren, on this. We don't think they are specifically in all cases in the scriptures, but we think there are some things we can consider on these areas. Socialism. Well, in Leviticus 23:22, it says, "When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. Leave it for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord, your God." All right. So this is a form of socialism. Now, you can say, no, it really wasn't, because God owns everything. And so God has a right to tell people what they're going to do with it. And we would agree with that. But in this case, the private ownership of the land and the harvest was to be used by the poor. Now, the poor had to go out and exercise and make an effort to go out and get this food. But it was a distribution of private property by the government, which was God at the time, to give to other people. So socialism in Leviticus 23. Now, this is not an advocation of socialism. Anything God does is going to be perfect. So this is not an advocation of socialism, but it is an example of how socialism was used by God as a concept. Okay. Communism. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as everyone had need. This was classic communism in the scriptures. It was tried by the early church. So, we'll get more into that as we go along. Nihilism. This is a little bit of a stretch on some of this, but everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. That one's probably a stretch. But on the next one, we don't think it is. We think that the Lord's great army in Joel 10, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withhold their shining. We believe that the Lord's great army will be nihilistic. They won't care about the past. They won't care about the future. All they're going to care about is going after those that have done these things. They're going to be almost ravenous or raging in their activities. So, the short history of communism and socialism. Socialism was first suggested by Plato in the Republic, and Thomas More suggested it in Utopia, though they were never implemented, which we think is key here. It's interesting to note Thomas More is the patron saint of lawyers. He also advocated killing Protestants as they came ashore in England, or at least putting them in prison. So again, someone is suggesting socialism, death seems to follow communism and socialism in many ways. Karl Marx, he was a capitalist. He worked for Horace Greeley. You may remember Horace Greeley as a journalist or as a publisher. Go West, young man, was his phrase that everybody may know. He did not like the fact that Horace Greeley wouldn't give him a raise. He got angry and took off time from being a journalist and created the Communist Manifesto. And then in Russia, nihilists were tried once, Peter Kropotkin, right before the communism was set up, and it really came, nothing came of it. A short unofficial history of socialism and communism. Our Lord's return was a huge game changer, and we think that the evil spirits and Satan tried to find something to use. It's interesting to know people will say that communism has never been tried, and we need to try it again because it's never been tried very well, and so it's really not a fair judgment that communism is bad. Well, we would suggest just the opposite, that communism was tried under the most incredibly best standards that ever could have been. The apostles and the saints. If anybody could have done communism, it would have been them. And it ended in death of Ananias and Sapphira. We think it's important to note that as we look around, communism and socialism tend to leave death wherever they're at. Not always, but they tend to. There is an appeal to socialism and communism. And this is something that's important because the saints in the first century thought, well, this is a really good idea. You know, we can make a sacrifice for the good. We can hear people today say, well, I don't care if they get money out of my paycheck to go help somebody. I'll make that sacrifice for the good. It's fleshy, allows people to show how great sacrifices they are making. Look at me. I'm willing to give up. I'm willing to help out. I'm willing to do these things. It seeks to be fair. Well, everybody can have a little bit of something, and we're all good. Everybody's happy. It seeks to be loving. Everybody, here, take my food. You'll feel so much better. Again, fleshy. Again, look at me. Look how wonderful I am. It ignores basic scripture. He that does not eat should not, who does not work should not eat. That is scripture. And yet in this country, we ignore that scripture to our detriment and around the world to their detriment. And it allows people to lord it over their fellows. How? Because communism and socialism is a system that controls economic constructs. And when you can control economic constructs, you can control people. And that is the appeal of communism and socialism to the evil realm that we have about us today. Socialism and communism of our day is not real. They are a smokescreen used to hide the real intent, a way for evil spirits to control people. Now, people can make arguments that around the world, socialism has been used quite well. And I'll give an example. The metro in most cities used to be private bus companies, and the government took them over. And for the most part, they've been very successful, very helpful. So we can't say that everything about socialism and communism is bad. What we can say is that in the world that we live today of selfishness, it does not have an opportunity to be used except by the evil spirits to control people through economic constructs. Now let's go to 1914. At the start of World War I, Satan had a problem. He had many problems, actually. Christ was starting to exercise his power, and he could see it, and the kings were losing their power. The truth movement was at its zenith, and the churches were really hurt, and we'll show you that a little bit in a chart that we've got of how the truth and consequent the rolling of that stone down the hill had really hurt the churches. The financial system was near collapse. The war was devastating the nations. In fact, there's several shipwrecks of gold that people are looking for now across the Atlantic because they had to ship gold back and forth because they didn't have a central bank that could create money. So Satan created the central bank in what year? It was passed in December of 1914, the Federal Reserve was incorporated as an organization. Satan was starting to lose control of his household. We'll get more into that as we go along. But this was all part of this 1914. And light on all subjects were starting to have an effect on Satan's empire. So what happened after 1914? Well, Russia starts to accept communism. Now, it was communism after a fashion. We would prefer to call it Stalinism or Bolshevikism, but it was an attempt to create communism. Why did it work? Or at least, why were they able to get it put into place? This was the last country to remove feudalism. The people were had enough. They hated the people in power. And Lenin was able to capitalize on that. The losses of World War I were devastating to Russia in men and materiel. They really were unable to use effective military tactics, and the Germans were just tearing them up. They had lack of food, had a bad harvest. This is key, and we'll talk about that more as we go along. But the lack of food led to their acceptance. And then the military turned because of lack of food, and it was all over. But they also had a loss of respect for the churches because the churches supported the Tsar. And that set them up for communism. Now, who set up communism? We think the evil spirits set up communism. Why do we say that? Well, who opposed communism in the world? Christian nations opposed communism. Ever since communism was started in the Russian Revolution, it has been opposed by Christian nations, by papacy, and Protestants in the United States. Who is the creator of papacy? Satan. Who is the leader of Christian nations? Satan. Who is the leader of Protestants in the United States? That would be Satan once again. So, who opposes communism? Satan. So that leaves the evil spirits as being led out and trying to create all these isms around the world for power and control. Oh, brethren, we just messed that up. Hold on. Oh, well, now we did it. Hold on. Okay. Let's get into the bind of Satan because this all fits into what's happened since 1914 with communism and socialism. First off, let's ask ourselves, if Satan is being bound, why is there such an increase in sin and in really gross sins? The really demonic, evil sins. Why is there an increase if Satan is being bound right now? Why do we not see the following? Why do we not see a general increase in liberty around the world? We see people striving for liberty, do we see an increase in liberty? No, we're starting to see just the opposite. Canada is a perfect example of that, what has happened in Canada in the recent days. But even in this country, we're starting to see a loss of liberty. No law was ever passed to force people to stay at home during this, what was considered the pandemic. It was all through edict and all through a signature of one of someone in power. In this state, in the state of Indiana, which we live, the governor signed a one piece of paper, and we were forced to stay at home. We were forced to wear masks by the sign of another piece of paper. Again, that's completely unconstitutional, completely beyond his power, and the courts have already ruled on that. They had no right to do that, but yet they did it. Loss of liberty. Why don't we see more or less sin? If Satan's being bound, why do we not see less sin? Why do we not see less demonic influence? If Satan's being bound, should we not see that? Less despotic governments. Why do we not see that? What are the communistic countries increasing? Why are they increasing? The ones that are big right now is China, Russia, and other communist countries are increasing. Papacy's loss of influence and the internal communistic influence inside the Catholic Church. The current Pope says that he is an avowed communist or socialist. And he really is a communist from what he's written, at least in our opinion, from what we've picked up. He has also said there's no hell, and he doubts whether there's a Trinity or not, this current Pope. Again, papacy's loss of influence. Are we looking for the wrong thing, brother? This is a question we all have to ask. Again, sin is normalized. The true holy things are under attack. Marriage is under attack. When asked this week, the person that is running for to become a part of the Supreme Court was asked if she could tell the difference between a man and a woman. She says, I'm not a biologist. Think about that for a moment. Someone in the crowd afterwards said, well, I'm not a veterinarian, but I know what a dog looks like. But they're saying these things. Why? If Satan's being bound, why is such perverse ideas being put forth? The sin against women and children are increasing on a industrial scale. An industrial scale. The amount of people that are brought across our southern border, the majority of them are children and women. Why? Why? Some advocates have said that children, they expect that children to come across the border are attacked at least 5 to 20 times a day. Women and children are attacked anywhere from 5 to 20 times a day. We see more lies than truth all about us. Why? If Satan's being bound, why do we see this? Liberty being lost everywhere. Why do we not hear the Jubilee trumpet? Are you weary yet? Do you feel like Lot? Are you vexed daily? Good, because that means you're still a lover of righteousness. We would like to consider two scriptures that we think go a long way in explaining this. The first is Matthew 12:29, describing our Lord's binding of Satan. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house except and spoil his goods? Except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now, this is important. When our Lord came at his second presence, after he had raised the sleeping saints, he started to bind Satan with cords of light. So Satan is being bound. He is being restricted. And that was increasing since 1874 and onward. But Jude 6 tells us, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Unto the judgment of the great day. The evil spirit's liberty is increasing. So the binding of Satan does not apply to his household. His household was merely the destruction of it. Spoil his house. But the evil spirits have more liberty to do all sorts of evil things. There was a reprint article we read in getting ready for this that just changed our whole attitude, and not attitude, but really opened up in our minds questions that we knew we had, but we didn't really couldn't articulate. And this article was able to help us articulate and help me understand what is going on today, this very day, and the things we see about us in Ukraine and all these different things. It is helping to understand, and we want to go through that if we can. It is reprint 4976. The very first sentence of the article says, we are to distinguish clearly between the restraint of the fallen angels in chains of darkness and the binding of Satan, who is the prince of demons. We are to clearly distinguish that there is a difference between these two. He goes on, he says, the fallen spirits seem to be thoroughly degraded in their appetites and desires. That explains all this demonic and sick sin that we see about us today. The normalization of gross sins. Do you know that they have videos that you can buy of people being murdered? There are videos, people take videos of people to sell so people can see people getting murdered. This is the complete degradation of appetites and desires that the evil spirits are trying to transfer to humans. Why? For control. If we get any conception of the time before the flood, we realize that the earth was full of violence. God perceived that the thoughts of men's minds were evil and only evil, and so it is today. And if it was in Brother Russell's time, how so much more in our time? I went to another reprint that's helped us a lot too, and that is reprint 4609. In reprint 4609, Brother Russell starts to describe this binding of Satan and how it works. And we want to read this. Seems like it's a long quote, but we think it's an important quote. As to what constitutes the house of this strong man would be another matter. His house here would stand for his household, which at the present time would include the fallen angels. All right, so the house in which the strong man comes in Matthew 8 that we just read, this is made up of Satan and his evil spirits, these fallen angels. These fallen angels who have been subject to Satan as their prince will in some sense of the word be thrown out of harmony with him. Now, this is important. Up until this time, they were restrained. They had to work through Satan to do their evil deeds. They were restrained in doing a lot of things they wanted to do. They were under his thumb. He was allowed to do whatever he wanted. And so his household was very secure because he was the guy that had the power. But Brother Russell suggests that at the second presence, this would be thrown out of harmony. The time which we might expect this would be the second presence of our Lord. And it would seem that from that about the time of our Lord's parousia, disorder began to operate in Satan's household. And that these different endeavors that we see in many quarters to carry out certain schemes, more or less antagonistic the one to the other. So the evil spirits went off and formed communism. Satan tried to stop them. The evil spirits go out and do socialism because it appeals to the flesh. Satan tries to oppose them. On and on and on. Many of the most intelligent people of the whole world have arrayed themselves not on the side of Satan to do some evil work, but in opposition to all the darkness and blindness. They have not indeed the true light as we have it, but they are exercising an influence that is antagonistic to the darkness that Satan has hitherto used for the restraint of thought, etc. If you read on in this article, brethren, he is describing of his day the higher critics. Now think about that for a moment. He is suggesting in this article that the higher critics were used of God to bind Satan. Let me repeat that. He was suggesting that the higher critics were putting forth error, untruth, lies. And those lies were having an antagonistic effect on Satan and destroying his influence. And thus, they were binding Satan. This thought opened up a whole lot of thought for us, that even lies can be used of God to bind Satan if it destroys people's hope and belief in his systems as represented in the governments and in the papacy around us. So as an example of this lie, of lies that could be out there in government, lies in government could be destroying people's belief in government, in Satan's empire. Lies about the Catholic Church or truth about the Catholic Church could be destroying their belief in these structures. And the evil spirits are out there doing this along with people like the higher critics and people in academia that we see today. Now, let's take ourselves now, if we can, to the current news that we see about us today in Ukraine. Many people are saying that Putin is bad, and many people are saying that Putin is good. And I don't think we have to make a choice in that. Who cares? He is supporting, if he's good, he's supporting Satan. And if he's bad, he's supporting the evil spirits from the world standpoint. It doesn't matter. He certainly is not a man of God. But we want to bring into what I call ex-President Trump's Catholic connection. This is Monsieur Carlo Mario Vigno. And he and Trump have communicated on many levels about how they think they can reform the Catholic Church. Now, this is an important point. This man is a supporter of Putin, and we'll talk a little bit about why he's a supporter of Putin in a moment. But what's interesting in our mind is that he is out to reform the Catholic Church of all their sins. Now, think about that for a moment. Brother Russell anticipated in the foreword of the fourth volume in 1916 that the Catholic Church would rise to prominence again and be able to be used of Satan to get his empire back. Right now, the impediment to that is that people point and say, you know what? You're just full of a bunch of really bad people that have done some really bad thing to children and to women, and you people are really bad. Now, this individual, Carlo, says, hey, I acknowledge that. That's exactly what's going on, and that has to stop. And let me tell you, I'm here to stop it, and I'm here to reform the church, and I'm here to completely destroy this sin that's been there. And President Trump, when he was president, said, listen to this man. He's got a lot going for him. So this man is not just some nut job. He actually thinks he can overcome things. Now, he clearly lists out who's on the two sides of this. He says, I earnestly hope that my appeal for the establishment of anti-globalist alliance that unites the peoples of the world in opposition against the tyranny of the New World Order will be accepted by those who have at heart the common good, peace between nations, concord among all people, freedom for all citizens, and the future of the new generations. This man believes that the globalists, the New World Order, that is a real thing, brethren. In fact, our president just mentioned the New World Order in a speech 3 days ago. These anti-globalist alliance, He's against the New World Order, this man here. We believe the New World Order could very well be the evil spirits, and that the anti-globalists, some of those would be Trump and others, they would be supporting Satan in trying to get back this government that we see about us. They don't know that they're doing that. They don't know. Both sides are trying to be sincere in this. But we believe that this man right here has listed who is the two sides that are opposed. Now, let's go to Putin and see what he has had to say. Putin has been a very interesting person. Russia is no longer a communist country. They have completely wrapped themselves around capitalism. They are now leaving communism behind. Putin, in a recent rally in this last week, quoted scripture, and he justified his movement into Ukraine by the following words. And this is where the words from the scriptures come to my mind. This is what he said. There is no greater love than if someone gives his soul for his friends. He is in bed with the Russian Orthodox Church, big time. And the Russian Orthodox Church was formed in Ukraine. And they are pushing him to take that back. When asked in 2021, Putin says, I don't think there's any elements of Stalinism here. He is completely divorcing himself from communism. This individual that we just talked about, this Vyganov, he says that Russia is the third Rome. He is counting on them to come and help him out. They are becoming completely Christian as a nation. Now, we get into something that's called the Visions of Fatima. The Visions of Fatima was a vision that some young children saw in 1919. Now, whether they saw it or not, obviously it wasn't from God. But we believe that Satan was attempting to get things back on track from communism that started just recently in Russia. Satan had lost control. And the evil spirits had set up, we believe, communism. So the Vision of Fatima said that we will come back in 10 years and we will tell you what needs to be done. Okay, so in 1919 is when the first one came. And I think Satan was trying to see if he could get rid of communism some other way, through economic sanctions or whatever. That didn't work. So in 1929, there was another vision of Fatima. And they said that the consecration of Russia as a country will usher in a period of world peace. Now, we don't believe that. But this man does. And this man does too. They believe in this. Putin is a Christian in his mind, and we know he's a nominal Christian. But he's on a Christian, what he believes to be a Christian mission. Finally, Sister Lucia Lusana was the one that saw these visions in 1929. And she responded to a conversation of Russia, and she said that Russia would come through the earth, Eastern Orthodox Church and the Oriental Rite. People believe this, and certainly Russian Orthodoxy believes it. Russians believe they are on a mission from God. If you see the Russian uniforms, they have what's called the Punisher symbol on them. And if you don't know what that is a moniker that people in this country started to fight the New World Order. And they're wearing it on their uniforms. Why is this important? Well, because Satan is losing control of his household. He's losing control. He is being treated badly by our Lord. That's great. But he is being restrained. And we see this is a percentage of population of people who went to church from Brother Russell's time. You see it drop off greatly in 1910 at the height of the Bible student movement and has been dropping ever since. Ever since, Satan has been losing control because of communism, because of socialism, because of the ease of life, because of the truth, because of truth on all subjects, they're destroying him. But what does it say? It's his churches, though, that are having trouble. It is the papacy. It is the Protestants. What about belief in God? Gallup said that 89% of people say they believe in God. 89%. And then 86% say they believe in a universal spirit. But take a look here, brethren. Since 1944, it's only dropped 7 points. People still believe in God. They just don't believe in Satan's control and Satan's constructs, as it were. This is important because Christianity has not really grown around the world. It's only at 32%. So, in summary, since our Lord's second presence, we think Satan's household has been under attack. And we believe that the evil spirits have used communism and socialism and to a certain extent nihilism, though it failed for them rather miserably, to try to control people, to try to take people away from Satan's households. Satan is fighting back, we believe. And we believe that they were all being used to destroy his empire. His house was going forth. You'll notice that it was the Catholic Church that brought down communism in Poland with the help of Reagan. It was the Catholic Church that tried to get Russia to go into, the Nazis to go into Russia and destroy them. If you have any question about that, there's a book called Hitler's Pope by Cromwell. It's a very interesting where there was an alliance between papacy and Nazism to destroy communism. Satan really wanted communism to go away. And he was willing to use whatever he could to make that happen. And that the current loss of liberty and the increase of sin and the destruction of the world around us is the result of this battle, and Satan is having trouble. Again, he is being bound. The evil spirits are being allowed to do what they want. So what do we have left? Well, this is an opinion. From what we've picked up on the scriptures, we believe that what we have left is that Satan is going to try very hard, we think, through Russia or through other means to get control back from these evil spirits through the Catholic Church. They will be so angry, we believe, that eventually they will turn into these four winds and they will be released upon them. The church will be taken home at that time. And we believe the evil spirits will be destroyed at that time also, but we don't have a scripture to back that up. But we do know that Satan will be the last man standing because he delivers the great company. He is the one that the apostle tells us is the one that buffets the great company and gets rid of them. So let's go back to our scripture if we can and see how this aligns with Psalms 2-4. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Brother Russell says that they try to think they're going to have peace. And the heathen are raging now more than ever. The anger level that's growing because of things that are coming out about COVID and how there were numbers. The CDC and the National Institutes of Health have released this week saying, we way overestimated deaths. And they are now admitting that there are more deaths from the vaccine than there was from COVID. And that the long-term effects of the vaccine are starting to be seen as a problem. And you'll see that with athletes that are collapsing from heart conditions, which has never happened to the extent that they're happening now. The heathen are getting angry. They are seeing what's going on. The kings of the earth set themselves up and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and finally against his anointed. The kings of the earth are trying to keep their power. They are trying to resist these bands that have held them of the constitutions and whatnot. And they want to get rid of them. They want to go out and do whatever they want, like Trudeau did in Canada. It was fascinating when Trudeau shut off all of the bank accounts for those truckers and anybody that had supported the truckers. So if someone in the United States had given $5 to the truckers to help them out, they were put on a list and banks were starting to shut off their accounts. And then people did runs on the banks, and the banks went to Trudeau and said, you got to stop this. You are destroying the financial viability of our banks. Again, he wanted to do whatever he could to control the people. But he had limits, and he wants to get rid of those limits. And of course, he that sitteth in heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. We are on the side of the right here, brethren. Our side will win. We will go down in defeat, of course, or seeming defeat. But it is the right side that we are on. For we are not on the side of the evil spirits, and we are not on the side of Satan. We keep ourselves out of all of these political intrigues, and all these social intrigues, and all these financial intrigues, and yes, all these religious intrigues. And we are just watching on that sea of glass and watching down below of all the things that are happening. Because we see in ways that we have never seen before, these earth's governments are crumbling before our very eyes. May the Lord bless the things we have said, and we appreciate very much the brethren selecting this topic for our consideration.
Thank you, Brother Mark. I appreciate your service. What a strong message. This is the reason why we get together. This is why we come together to reason together to interpret the times and the seasons that we are in. Brethren, we are going to close with hymn 318, Watching for the Day, and then we will have Brother Mark close us out in prayer. Brother Mark, please.
Dear Almighty God and our beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy and thy gracious name. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful privilege we have to walk with you. We thank you for the privilege of living in this time of your presence. And we thank you for the privilege we have of being called sons of you. We pray that you'd be with each one of us, that we might look about us and